City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. It has just gone 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon, and that can mean only one thing. It's time for the last Take Five of the week with me, Will Batchelor. It is the show which each and every different weekday invites somebody new to imagine that their house is on fire, but in a good way. Good because they got themselves out, they've got their family and pets out, and they just about have enough time to dash back inside and rescue five records from the flames. That is the situation today. For my guest, the last guest of the week, he is Les Parry, Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager. Les, thanks for coming up the tower.
Morning, Will. First time up here.
How can it be your first time up here? You know, it's an exalted position you hold, albeit one you only had for about a fortnight.
Well, that's right. I've had plenty of offers, plenty of invitations, but I've just never had the time to get up here, and I think I've missed something.
For those who don't follow the twisted and turbulent tales of Tranmere Rovers, of course, you stepped into the breach after John Barnes was sacked after a pretty disastrous start to the season, but you've previously been at the club for years and years as the physio.
That's right. I joined the club in 1991 under John King, so I've seen a few managers. I imagine it's 8 or 9 different managers I've worked under.
No, I think you need your shoes and socks off, surely, for that.
Yeah, it's getting that way.
So how's it been?
It's been fantastic. The lads' response has been great. I've been lucky, I've always got on with the players, and their response has been fantastic, even though those who I took out of the team to replace with others, everybody's pulled together.
But some would say that perhaps you have the support of the dressing room more than Barnes did.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I've certainly got the support of the dressing room. You know, everything that we do, we've doubled the training that we've been doing. We've been asking them to work harder, and the response to a man has been magnificent.
Could it be that if you're a decent physio, and I'm assuming you are, at some point, you'll have treated most of the guys in that squad. Could it be they feel that they owe you a kind of almost a personal debt at some stage of this was the guy who got me fit and playing again?
Yeah, I've never thought of it like that, but yeah, I'll have treated every player on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
And my room has always been the social hub of the club. Some clubs have physio rooms that they only allow 2 players in at any one time, and you know, you can't do this in there, you can't do that in there. I think that sort of isolates injured players, so I've always had the philosophy that to invite other players in there so that injured players don't feel out of the squad. And because of that, like every morning there's 10, 12, 14 players in my room all chatting and having a bit of a laugh.
Well, I can tell you're a sociable guy, and I can tell you like a laugh as well, because we are going to speak at some point about your programme reports. I can honestly say that it is the most interesting thing I've ever read in a football programme, which, of course, as you know, is not a massive boast, because previously, until you started writing, no one has ever written anything interesting in a programme, have they?
No, they haven't. It's just developed over the years, and a number of people say that they buy the programme to read my notes. And every year, I think, I'll ask the club for some money for writing it. But I never do, and I obviously never would.
You should do. I'll tell you off air what I used to get paid when I wrote my column in the Liverpool Echo, and you can take that to them as ammunition if you
please
like.
Please do, Will.
Absolutely, good idea. I've got one here. I'm going to read it later. So if you haven't ever heard the words of wisdom from Les Parry before, then stick around, City Talk 105.9, because we are going to be reading some of those out. But we also on this show have to speak about the 5 records that you would want to save from your metaphorically burning home. What's the first one?
Before I pick the first one, and I know people out there think it's easy to pick 5 records. Until you try to do it, believe me, it's one of the most difficult things you'll ever do. You pick 5 and then you think of another one and change it.
Yeah.
So it really is difficult. But this one wasn't too bad, because I pick all the records for the CD that goes on before games.
All right.
And what I started doing was I got every player's favourite and I made a CD out of it, because they used to argue terribly about what was going on and that's rubbish and that. So I thought, well, if everybody has a choice. And my choice, and the one that we used to always put on before the lads went out, was The Farm and All Together Now. I think that characterises the approach that we want from the players. We want them all to be together. So since I've taken over, I've started putting that on as well as they're getting ready to go out.
So this is the CD that gets played in the changing rooms or in the whole stadium?
No, just in the changing rooms. I think some of the songs that the lads pick wouldn't go down very well in the stadium because yeah. there's a lot of swear words in rapping. So no, we have to stick it to the dressing room.
Well, thank you for choosing at least one of the clean ones off that particular mixed CD. It is All Together Now by The Farm. We're going to play it now. City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9. That's All Together Now by The Farm on the station that brings you great music and great conversation. This is Take 5, and hopefully the great music and conversation this hour is coming courtesy of Les Parry. He's the caretaker manager at Tranmere Rovers, and he has joined me in the studio to talk us through the five records he would save from his home if it was to catch fire, in the unlikely event of it catching fire, I should say. Although you never know, if you upset any Tranmere fans, Les, it could come sooner than you thought.
Could.
You mentioned before that song, the first one you picked, All Together Now by The Farm, comes off the mixed CD that you play to the lads before a match.
That's right.
That's your choice, and they all get one choice. Yeah. What are some of the others that the Tranmere players have chosen?
They're quite diverse, really. Alan Marn, he has Eye of the Tiger, rocky one.
Yeah,
which
Survivor,
is quite good for getting the lads up. And then we have a lot of rappy and Notorious B.I.G. That's Michael Ricketts, who's a striker who's just come in this season. And Paul McLaren, his is the Black Eyed Peas, Tonight's Gonna Be a Good Night.
Oh, yeah.
Which I quite like, so...
Yeah, quite a recent one.
Yeah, so I put that at the beginning. The ones I like, I put at the beginning, so that they get played and it doesn't run out before they go out to warm up.
You should publish the whole list in the programme if you haven't before, because I bet there's some Tranmere anoraks who would like to create their own mixed CD and listen to exactly what the players are listening to.
Yeah, that's a good idea. About 5 years ago, I actually made a CD, which I probably shouldn't have done, and I got all the players to sign it across the name of their choice. And we had a little bit of a competition and one of the fans won it, so that was quite a nice prize for them.
And you know what fans want, of course, because that's how you started your journey in the game, wasn't it? You're a Tranmere fan.
Yeah, I had a season ticket for Tranmere before I worked there. I had a company that trained people in the sport and leisure industry and treatment of injuries. And John King, the old manager, was actually working for me, and he was doing a football in a community, so he used to go out and work with the unemployed in football, and he got the job back at Tranmere and asked me to join him again. So I did the reserves for the first couple of years from 91 to 93.
Was that a buzz for someone who'd watched the team for so long from the terraces of Prenton Park to actually suddenly be in the bowels of the stadium, so to speak?
Yeah. It was for the first few months, I suppose, because that was the time when John Aldridge had just joined.
Yeah.
And Eric Nixon and players like that. So, yeah, it at first it was fantastic, but it's like anything, you just get used to it. It's like travelling and staying in hotels. People say it must be great, and it is for the first two or three trips. But after that, it just becomes a bit tedious.
I'm just thinking, 91, they went to two Leyland DAF finals in a row, didn't they, 1990 and 91? Were you there for either of those?
No, I wasn't. My first year was the first year of promotion. So the first game I was there was Brighton away when they won 2-0 and John Aldridge scored the two goals.
I was at the, I'm just sure you were as a fan, the Wembley final in 91. I'm afraid I was on the other team, though.
Well, let's not talk about that then, anyway.
Oh, can't we talk about how Birmingham won 3-2? Actually, I better not do that, because there's probably two Birmingham fans listening, which is my mum and dad, and thousands of Tranmere fans, so I won't wind you up, because this is, of course, City Talk 105.9, a station based in Merseyside. Moving swiftly on, I should ask you, Les, about the film you're going to rescue from this metaphorical house fire as well. A surprising choice. Are you winding me up here? Is this your genuine choice?
No, it's my genuine choice. The Sound of Music.
Oh,
what a
wow.
great film. The reason I picked it is it's
because you feel like a lonely goat herd sometimes.
Well, that's right. And I like the old puppets in that. And it was the first album that my mum and dad ever had. So I know every word to all the songs. Every time it's on, I watch it. So I must have watched it 20 times, I suppose. So I know what's coming next. And I think it's a great film.
It is. It's uplifting, I suppose. Do you know that I did a little research on this? They've inflation adjusted the profits made by various films throughout history.
Yeah.
And in today's prices, The Sound of Music would have made $1.022 billion.
See, told you it was a good film.
It's the third one. It's just behind Gone with the Wind and Star Wars in first place. So there you go. You're in good company, I think.
Yeah. I remember when it was first out. There was people going to see it 20 times on the bounce, you know, at the pitches.
It's not that good.
And no, it was at the time.
Where did you grow up in the Wirral?
On the Woodchurch. Yep. So I was born in St Catherine's Hospital, and most of my young life I was on the Woodchurch. I went to Woodchurch High School, and my mum and dad lived there until my mum died when she was still living there, and my dad lived there till about 7 or 8 years ago.
And did you fancy yourself as a footballer growing up on the Woodchurch, or did you always know that you were going to have a non-playing role?
Everybody fancied themselves as a footballer on the Woodchurch. We'd always be out kicking balls round and the old World Cup ones. And when they got burst, you used to take it home and put your mum's best spoon on the stove to heat it up and sort of wipe it over the plastic, you know, to try to melt the hole. So everybody was hoped he'd be a footballer. And I was okay, but I was nowhere near good enough for the level I'm working at today.
Well, I don't know if you ever got to the coast of the Wirral when you were growing up on the Woodchurch. I'm sure you did.
Yeah, I did.
The reason I ask is your next song is Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters, which, of course, is a song about romancing ladies and beneath piers. Was there ever a pier? Was there one at New Brighton or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm sure there was a pier at New Brighton.
Is that what this throws back to?
No, the song was picked for its feel-good factor. And I used to do, believe it or not, I used to do discos when I was younger.
Did you?
In the 80s. I used to do weddings and stuff like that. And it was one of the songs I always used to play because you could be guaranteed that people would get up and dance.
Yeah, have a smooch to it.
Yeah.
Did you play the clean version or the dirty version? Because the American version, the single that was released, said, Under the Boardwalk, we'll be falling in love. Yeah. And the album version said, we'll be making love.
I think the making love one I'd play.
Yeah, you got to get it steamy. Steamy for those Wirral discos.
The old 10 to 2. Song.
Absolutely, yeah. We can't say that word, can we? I was going to say the something section.
No, we better not,
because this is a family show. City Talk 105.9 Take 5 is the show, by the way. And my guest is Les Parry, the Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager and one-time jockey of the Wheels of Steel, by the sounds of it. And this was one of the tunes he used to play, Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters. City Talk 105.9, that's Under the Boardwalk by the Drifters, the second choice of my guest on today's Take 5, who is Les Parry, the Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager. If you want to hear some more of his tales from the back room at Prenton Park, and of course some more of his songs as well, stick around, we'll be back in a couple of minutes. City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, this is the home of great music and great conversation, and this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, here with you until 3 p.m. today, and I'm in the company of Les Parry. He is the caretaker manager of Tranmere Rovers. He will be in charge for tomorrow's game, of course. Swindon are visiting Prenton Park for the 125th anniversary game. Big game, that, Les.
Yeah, it's a massive game. It's a massive game, obviously, personally, because if we win, we'll only be 1 point away from safety. And if a new manager's going to come in next week, it'd be nice to hand over, you know, almost out of the relegation mire.
You stepped into this breach, if you like, this void left after the sacking of John Barnes, as a favour to the club and, you know, to sort of do the right thing by the club. But now you've had a taste of it. Do you quite fancy that job for yourself?
With each game that passes, I fancy it more and more, Will, yeah. It's a great job. It's a great club. I just want to make sure that if I put myself in the frame, that I am the right person to do it, because I don't want to be the person who takes the club down. Mm. I've got to have the belief in myself and any staff that are brought in or are used that we could actually pull the club out of the relegation zone and to safety by the end of the season.
In a way, then, it sounds like you're in quite a nice position, because if they decide you're the right man for the job, and if you do too, then you get your dream job. If they decide that there's someone more qualified to take over, then it sounds almost like you might be quite happy to let them take over, because you've got the interests of Tranmere Rovers at heart.
Yeah, very much so. As long as we get the right person, whether that's me or not me, it's not as if I'm going to lose my job.
Mm.
Mind you, saying that, the new manager might come in and he's got a best mate who's a physio.
Yeah.
So I might lose my job, but we'll deal with that if it happens.
Or you might not fancy the old, you know, retired general still loitering around in the back room.
Well, exactly, yeah. So I don't want to be doing it for too much longer. At least if somebody gets it now, I can say, well, I never ever wanted it, really.
Yeah.
I was just keeping the seat warm for you.
Absolutely. You've got a great family, are very supportive to you, and they are the subject of the photograph that you are going to save from this metaphorical house fire we've put you in. You've brought me a copy in kindly. It looks like you're having a great time. Just explain this to me.
The picture's actually taken in Florida. Last year, we rented a villa. I'm sure a lot of people listening will know what I'm talking about, who've got grown-up kids. I've got three. I've got two daughters and a son.
Hmm.
And as they grow up, they get to an age where they don't want to go on holiday with you anymore.
Yeah.
So one by one, they drop out of your holidays. And then they suddenly start thinking, wait there, I can go with my mate and have a free holiday. So they start sort of dipping in again. And mine now are 27, 25 and 21. And last year we were fortunate that everyone was able to take a holiday together, which we hadn't done for about 10 years. We went off to Florida with the three children, Lisa, Paul and Amy and their three partners. So there was eight of us, and we rented this villa, and we had a fantastic fortnight. We did all the theme parks,
yeah,
which we've done a number of times before. So the picture is actually us all sitting on the couch with the camera was on timer. And then when we knew it was going to go, we all put our arms up as if we were at the top of one of the big dippers and screamed. And so it's a picture that we'll never be able to replicate, because I can't ever see us all going on holiday together again. So it's close to my heart.
It's a cracking photo, absolutely wonderful. And of course, with your kids being that age and all having partners, I guess the pitter-patter of tiny feet may not be far off.
Well, I've actually got a granddaughter and a young Sophie. She's 9 months old, Lisa and Richard. And I've got a number of pictures of her, and I was so close to picking one of those as my picture, because at the moment she's got me heart. But, you know, that one shows the whole family. So it would have been nice if we'd have had that picture this year with Sophie as well, because she's a darling.
Your third song, well, it's someone who grew up partly in Liverpool and partly in the Wirral himself, Elvis Costello. Which one are you going for?
Yeah, which is why I've picked the record, because he's a local man. He's actually a Tranmere Rovers supporter.
Is he?
And has been to, when John Aldridge was the manager, he came to a few games and came down after the match into the manager's office. So I've got in my study at home a tray, a famous Grouse drinks tray that's been signed by Elvis Costello, which is one of my prized possessions. But I like his music. I like all his music. I particularly like Almost Blue, one of his albums, which is sort of country-ish, which is a fantastic album. But this, everyone will know this song. And again, it's got a feel-good factor to it, because it's Oliver's Army.
Too right. City Talk 105.9, it has got a feel-good factor. It's one of my favourite songs. It may even creep onto my Take 5 list if I ever manage to get onto your side of the desk, Les. And it is Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello and The Attraction. City Talk 105.9. What a tune! City Talk 105.9, that's Oliver's Army by Elvis Costello and The Attractions from 1979, that one, and still sounding just as fresh as it always has done. We have Les Parry to thank for that one on today's Take 5 on City Talk. He is my guest. He is, of course, the caretaker manager of Tranmere Rovers. Still in the job, has it been now 3 weeks, Les, something like that?
Yeah, 3 weeks today, funny enough, Will.
And counting. You should wear a brown coat, shouldn't you, if you're a caretaker manager?
That was the topic of more conversation than anything, because I'm known for wearing T-shirt and shorts for the last 18 years. Whether I put a suit on, but I didn't disappoint. I stuck to my T-shirt and shorts.
Yeah, I've always preferred the tracksuit manager look. Anyway, I'm not sure about the suit look.
Yeah, I only owned one. And that was, I bought that for Felice's wedding the year before last. So,
and you can't go out in a top hat and tails.
No,
can you?
You can't, no.
The old waistcoat. Yeah. That would look a bit overdressed, even for the fine and dandy surroundings of Prenton Park.
It would.
Thinking of managers, do you have certain managers that you look to and you think, I would like to manage in their style? You know, do you see yourself as a David Moyes, a disciplinarian, or as a sort of Jose Mourinho figurehead type? Who do you look to?
I'd like to think that I was approachable, that, you know, players can discuss things with me. So I wouldn't like to be a dictator type manager. But at the end of the day, you have got to make decisions. The lads have got to be fit. The lads have got to be organised. And to do that, they have to work hard. Some of them don't like that. And so you're always going to get a little bit of a backlash. But that's, you know, that's the job, and they just have to get on with it. As I said before, Will, I've worked with a number of managers, and I'd like to think I've learned from each and every one of them.
Who was your favourite at Tranmere?
Probably John Aldridge and John King. John King didn't let things get to him, and John Aldridge did.
Yeah.
So they were very opposite.
Yeah, we hear Aldo let things get to him every Saturday when he does the commentary on City Sport.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that's what he was like in the dressing room. He was kicking off at half-time at one game, and I've got a separate room next to the dressing room, and I thought, oh, I'm staying out of that, so I stayed out the way. Next thing, my door opened and Nick Henry and David Kelly come in and said, have you got anything for Burns? Because he'd booted the pot of tea and it had drenched them. But he was class, he was passionate. And that's how he expected his players to be.
I was listening to the commentary on Sunday of the Liverpool-Man United match, and Steve Hothersall, who's the sort of sober side of that particular pairing, said, oh my goodness, I've never seen anything so childish in my life. And it was Aldo dancing in front of the Man United fans to celebrate the victory.
That's Aldo.
Yes, absolutely. Happy times, and I bet you've got some great stories to tell after all your years, nearly 20 years at Prenton Park. You could write a book about it. And we know you've got literary skills. You write the programme notes every week, and they are funny and interesting and the most interesting thing that's ever been written in a football programme. So I'm surprised that the book you're going to save from the flames is a book of Sudoku puzzles, not exactly a work of literature.
No, it's not. I haven't read a book since I was at school, I don't think. I don't read books. My brain's always ticking over, so I get to the end of the page. If I ever try on holiday, I get to the end of the page and I forget what was on the page. So I can read a page without anything going in. I shouldn't be saying, especially if children are listening about reading. But I'm just about to finish a PhD at John Moores.
In what?
In exercise physiology. Yeah. So I read a lot of physiology books, a lot of books on soccer injuries, a lot of articles. So I read a lot, but I don't actually, I don't read any books, as we know, and addicted to Sudokus.
And yet you do have a kind of almost a novelist's eye for detail. I've just got your, these are your programme notes from the 28th of September. So this was before the match against Colchester. And I've just got a couple of extracts to read here. This is something you've written about Terry Gornall. Terry is a bit different from the other two. He turns up for training immaculately turned out, wearing a light blue tracksuit top with a massive number 84 across the front and a gleaming white T-shirt underneath, jeans that have a crease down the middle and white trainers that look like he's just nicked them off a stand outside JJB Sport. Add to that his square head, bushy, quaffered eyebrows and his strutty walk with his shoulders back and chest out, and you've got a type of clean-cut All-American boy. I think that's how he sees himself. A bit of a Richie Cunningham off Happy Days. That's a great description. That's a novelist description.
That was the way you read it out, Will. It sound better than what it was.
And this one as well from the same piece. It's been a bit of a respite for Baz Savage this week because he's had company. There has just been the two of us all season. And I could see that he was getting a bit fed up with me. Telling me to shut up all the time and falling asleep in my room when I'm talking to him sort of gave the game away. At the beginning of the week, Michael Ricketts joined us. He landed awkwardly on his knee during the Exeter match and had to come off. It was good walking into total fitness with those two. I made sure we walked in together with me in the middle, so they looked like my minders. I tried to get them to wear Crombie coats, and I was going to poke one of my eyes out, smoke a massive cigar, and stick somebody's hand to the counter with a knife, but they wouldn't have it.
Well, if you know Baz and Michael Ricketts, you'll know what I mean.
Absolutely, do know exactly what you mean. But it's funny because football programmes, I never understand why people spend money on them, any of them. I think they're the most dull publications ever. But they seem to assume that because there's kids there and there's families there, no one wants to read anything funny or exciting. It all has to be totally anodyne. And you're a fan. It's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And at the moment, last week and tomorrow, I've had to write two pages. I write my injury page and I write the manager's page, which is the front page.
And do you try and keep the manager's page in a similar style, or do you treat that one a little bit more seriously?
Well, last time I treated it a little bit more seriously, but I struggle this week. Yeah. We're playing Swindon tomorrow, and Peter Shirtliff is their assistant manager, who was our assistant manager last year. So I've sort of mentioned missing him, sitting next to him at the team photo pre-season, because he's an ugly man. So what you do in the team photo, you pick the ugliest fella and you stand next to him and you look half decent. So I've just given that a little mention. And Danny Wilson, I think I've mentioned that he used to sit on my dad's shoulders and watch him play for Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. So he's not going to be happy tomorrow because I think he's younger than me.
I absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant, and I congratulate you, and I wish that a few other football clubs would take a leaf from your book. How do you go about writing that? Is it literally a stream of consciousness that you splurge out in 20 minutes, or do you craft it?
No, I just sit down and write it, print it out once, sort of edit it, because my grammar's not the best, and then just hand it in. And the editors, Tim and Tony, if they change anything, I go mad.
Oh, tell me about it.
I know, because I had Kenny Irons and Tony Thomas, and I put Botch Cassidy and the son Dunce Kid.
Yeah.
And he changed it to the right spelling. So it was lost.
I feel your pain. Believe me, I've been there, and certain subs at the Liverpool Echo will know what I'm like when someone messes around with my copy. Anyway, I've put that behind me now. The therapy got it out of my system quite well. Well, you can save your book of Sudoku puzzles because you are an addict of those.
Yes, I am.
Suspect, Les, that one day there'll be a book in you and you can save that one further down the line if you like.
Let's hope so.
Absolutely. Les Parry is the Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager. He's also my guest on today's Take 5 on City Talk 105.9. And we'll be hearing the two remaining songs that he will save from this metaphorical house fire we've put him in about a minute's time on City Talk 105.9. City Talk 105.9, the home of great music and great conversation. This is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, for this Friday afternoon. We are fast approaching the end of the show here. Don't forget, though, Howard Hughes will be with you after 3 o'clock today, driving you home between 3 and 6, after which we will have an hour of City Talks football with Toby Gillis, normally presented by Peter Mack, of course, but Peter Mack's been covering breakfast all week for Duncan Barks, who's back on Monday. I think that all makes sense. Les, does that make sense?
Yeah, it seemed to.
And of course, you're good pals with our very own Peter Mack, aren't you?
We've known each other for a few years now because he's covered Tranmere extensively.
And of course, whenever he gets one of his little niggles, he probably comes to you for a rub down and the magic sponge, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. He says he'll come over for a coffee.
Yeah.
And then he sits down for a coffee and he'll just so happen to mention that he's tweaked his knee or tweaked his hamstring or something. So I said, go on, jump up then.
He likes to think of himself as a pro athlete, doesn't he? That's why. The rest of us would just run it off, but Peter Mack has to sort of go, I'll go and get some professional help.
Yeah. I take it he's never told you about when he joined in training.
He came in to
join in training one morning with the mic and everything, and he nearly died.
That's fair, isn't it? Because Peter Mack is a fit guy, you know, he likes his sport and stuff, but I don't think people appreciate just how fit professional athletes are.
It's like anything, well, it's like me watching you do this. You make this look so easy that you look at it and you think, I could do that. But I know quite well I couldn't. But it's like watching plumbers or joiners. Anybody who does something well makes it look easy. And it's the same with footballers and the footballers' fitness. You look at them and they're all of the same level, so it doesn't stand out how fit they are. But non-league players come in on trial and you can tell the difference straight away.
And what about the physio work? I've made a couple of comments about the magic sponge. Is it still the magic sponge and the deep heat spray, or is there actually a lot more science to it now that we don't really appreciate when we see the little man in the tracksuit with the bag?
Nah, it's still dead easy. It's a bit of water. Yeah, there's something in the magic sponge, because if you think about most knocks that you get, you know, if you stub your toe on the end of the door or something, it goes after a minute or so, doesn't it? It's agony for a minute or so. So the time it takes to run on and put a bit of cold water on and stand them up is the time that you'd normally be rolling around the living room in agony, screaming. And so it's exactly the same. So there is something in the magic sponge. It is just that first 30 seconds.
And this is the sum total of your 7 years PhD work, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Use a sponge.
Use a sponge with some cold water on it.
But you do it with style, I'm sure. Your next song, because you've got two more to rescue from this metaphorical fire we've put you in, Les, is by Phil Collins. Which one are you going for?
In the Air Tonight. It's one of my favourite songs. The 5 seconds of the drum in the middle is fantastic. The advert that had the gorilla in it is fantastic. There's a story behind it that I'm sure isn't true, but whenever it's on, some of the old players will say, ask Les about it, what the story behind this is.
What's the story?
The story is that when he was a kid, he witnessed one of his friends drowning, and there was somebody in the boat, an older man in the boat, who didn't try to save him. So what he did, he wrote, remembering these events, he wrote the lyrics to the song, found this man, invited him without this man knowing who he was to a show, and sang the song to him with a spotlight on him at the front of the auditorium.
It's a great story. City Talk 105.9, this is Take 5 with me, Will Batchelor, and the Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager, Les Parry. Listen to the lyrics. It's Phil Collins and In the Air Tonight. City Talk 105.9, that's In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins, and I've listened to that song with new meaning now. Thank you to my guest Les Parry for pointing out those words to me. We've just been chatting during the song, Les, and we've decided that even if that isn't true, we don't want to know.
No, let's presume it's true.
Absolutely, it's a cracking tale. And Les has been regaling us, well, with many cracking tales, really, over the past hour or so. Just got time left to hear his final track and also which object he's going to save from the flames. Before we do that, though, Les, big match tomorrow. We mentioned it already. It's the 125th anniversary match.
Yeah, we've been inviting anybody who's played for the first team back again over the 125 years. So there'll be some doddery old ones there. But there'll be quite a few that I know as well who have not long finished playing. I think it'll be a fantastic occasion. A parade before the game where the fans can applaud some players that they'll remember, some players they won't remember, but they'll know the names because they've all contributed to where the club is today.
Absolutely. So one to go for, maybe for Tranmere fans who have dropped off the radar over the last few years and haven't been to Prenton Park for a while, it might be worth them just going, even if it's just for this one match, just to go and support and show their allegiance.
Yeah, it will be a fantastic occasion, and I ask everybody who's ever been a fan to come tomorrow, see what it's like today, and you may well get the bug again and want to come, because we've got the FA Cup next week, so it'd be nice if we could entice you there as well.
And of course, then that will heap some pressure on you. What are your chances against Swindon tomorrow?
I'd like to think that we'll win the game. As we said earlier, if we do win, we're only a point off safety. The lads are up for it this morning in training. We did some set plays. We did a little bit of sharp work. And they're really up for the game tomorrow, which they have been for the other three that we've been in charge. So there's no reason why we shouldn't win.
Absolutely right. Well, best of luck with that tomorrow.
Thank
I hope you get the result that you and all the Tranmere fans deserve, because it's a fantastic club and it often gets overshadowed, of course, by its larger neighbours.
Yeah,
but
it
plays a pretty valuable role in the community. Your object, this sounds like something you might do to unwind after all the stress of a career in professional football. Your secateurs for deadheading.
Yeah, gardening. Elaine and I love the garden. We spend all our spare money on the garden.
Mm.
Every spare minute we're out there. People hate weeding and people hate deadheading. I quite enjoy it, really, because I can relax. I can have a little think about things. I can have a think about work or my university work. So it doesn't, you know, if anybody out there wants the osteospermum's deadheading, I'll come along and with my secateurs and give them a good trimming.
It's a good sort of euphemism as well for a football manager, you know, kind of weeding out the chaff and looking after
it is, yeah.
The growing buds.
Yeah, just pulling out those little weedy ones and putting them in the bin.
Yeah, maybe you should start wearing your gardening gloves to training, just as a little message to the players.
Yeah, and my secateurs.
Yeah, you might get into trouble for that, though. You'd need your magic sponge if you start going at them with a pair of secateurs. That's your object, Les. And, of course, I'm going to have to call you Dr. Les as well. It's just twig that you're doing a PhD, aren't you?
Yeah, I've hoped to be examined within the next 4 weeks. So by Christmas, I should be a doctor by then.
Are you going to make the lads call you Dr. Les?
No, I don't know why, but if ever I write letters, I never put letters after my name.
No.
But people think you can prescribe aspirin and stuff like that then, so.
Well, it reminds me, actually, there's a law, isn't there, that a club's doctor can never be sent off the field of play, no matter how he or she behaves.
Yeah.
So once you get that, and especially in your dual role as manager and physio, and you're kind of a doctor, you're nearly a doctor, does that mean you can hurl as much abuse as you like at the officials and say whatever you like, and they can't send you off because you have this medical role?
That's actually true, but if because of your behaviour you get reported, because you can't be sent off, you get absolutely battered by the FA. So I've been really careful in the last three games, and I will be tomorrow, because I am quite vocal to referees.
And of course, you never know. You might want to keep them sweet.
Well, exactly.
On that note, keeping us sweet, we've got a fairly sweet song to end. Oh, it's bittersweet, I suppose. Wonderful Life by Black. Why have you gone for this as your final song, Les?
This is just pure self. I love the song. It's a local band. It reminds me of a holiday as well, but that's by the by. And Elaine and I just happened to like this song more than anything else. You know, I do have a wonderful life. I'm very, very fortunate with my family, with my job. I'm sure, you know, other people would love what I've got. So it's just a great song.
Les Parry, Tranmere Rovers caretaker manager, at least for now, and who knows, maybe for some time hence. Thanks for being my guest on Take 5 today.
Well, it's been a real, real pleasure. It's been fantastic, thank you.
It's been a lot of fun, and we're going to finish with your final song, Les. It is Wonderful Life by Black on City Talk 105.9. Have a great weekend.
Cheers.